Bravo, Jeremy. Bravo. Please raise your hand. Though, like, I don't know, our grade school teacher used to always say, you don't have to if it makes you nervous. Raise your hand if you believe, always have, or maybe began to believe in guardian angels. All right. So I guess maybe one of my goals today is to convince you otherwise. So the thing is, right, is that a lot of times my sermons, a lot of times our readings, a lot of times Bible class is about things in Christianity that aren't actually from the scripture. They've become a mythology that people have made up and put onto the scripture. But here's the thing. Today, I'm going to talk about guardian angels. And I'm going to talk about a guardian angel, a specific one that Jesus tells us about. These are no myth. These angels are no wives' tales. These angels are not folk religion. They are who Jesus Christ gives orders to take care of you, to watch over you, to guide you, all sorts of things. Throughout the Old Testament, angels visit and reveal what that they've been watching over and protecting the faithful. All right? And so think Abraham. Angels would always come to Abraham and maybe announce good news to him. Or, right? So your wife is going to have a son, right? So an angel delivers that message. An angel wrestles with Israel, or then Jacob, and changes his name to Israel. An angel comes to Gideon and says, don't worry, God hasn't forgotten about you. You're going to win. Keep pushing. And these are just a few of the Old Testament heroes that had dealings with angels. But we even have angels with names. They begin to appear in our Daniel reading. The namesake of yours truly. Right? So we learn about this guy, Michael, who's an angel. And he's doing specific things, watching over the faithful in exile. But then, when we cross into the New Testament, we have the angels. Angels with names, specific ones, that appear to Joseph in a dream and say, don't worry, don't run away, don't divorce her, stay with Mary. We have an angel with a name appear to Mary and say, you are with child. This is great. He's going to be the Messiah, the chosen one. We have angels that appear to stand there, essentially, right? At the empty tomb and say, Jesus isn't here, just like he said. And then literally the next people come and they say, Jesus isn't here, just like he said. And then the next people come and they say, Jesus isn't here, just like he said. They're messengers, most of the time in the New Testament. Always guardians, however. I remind you that our intro today is the chanted form of Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Right? Those aren't just lyrics to On Eagle's Wings. That is God's word through our servant, King David. Jesus even quotes this in defense of Satan himself, quoting it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. But a couple weeks ago, we had this really cool reading, Matthew 18. Where Jesus says, let the little children come to me, right? But he says, do not despise one of these little ones. And what he means is, don't lead them astray. Don't lead them away from me, Jesus. And he says, yet their angels, quote, their angels are in heaven, always beholding God. Long story short, the Bible says, God watches over you and protects you by means of angels. And sometimes they even have names. Raphael, Gabriel. And so that it's not just Ninja Turtles. Today's Michael, the archangel, the head, the chief. We first hear of Michael in Daniel, specifically in our Old Testament lesson. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ comes to Daniel, this prophet, to encourage him. And it freaks him out because this, do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He's the bad one. A hand appears and writes on the wall, an omen. And this is where we get our idiom, the writings on the wall, right? So that same hand now is touching Daniel, but it comes not to scare him, but to give him encouragement. For this is Christ. He's come to encourage. You see, Daniel is in exile in Persia, and he's been praying for deliverance for himself and his people, the Jews, ever since they've come into exile. After lifting up Daniel, saying, don't be afraid, stand up, the Lord encourages Daniel and says, Daniel, I've heard your prayers, and that should be great comfort. Daniel, I've heard your prayers. But here's the thing. God has let Daniel in on a cosmic secret, kind of like what I'm doing now. He tells Daniel that there is an unseen world. There is a heavenly realm. It is real. Angels and demons are constantly at war around us, on behalf of us, fighting for possession of places and people throughout history. The battle in Daniel's day was over Persia. When the Old Testament, specifically in these prophetic books, talks about princes, right? So when it says Prince of Persia, he doesn't mean the video game character with the sword that, you know, fights people, right? All right? He's talking about the Prince of Persia, the territorial angel or demon watching over Persia that currently has possession. And in this case, it is a specific demon, Satan by name. And so, Christ goes on to tell Daniel that he has been fighting with this prince of Persia, Satan, who has control over Persia, the biggest empire in the world at the time, where Daniel and his Jews are held captive. And this battle has been raging for 21 days. But because of Daniel and the faithful Jews who have been praying that Persia would be delivered, the Lord says that he sent the archangel Michael to come help in the fight. And so while he's there, Michael is going to give Daniel visions of the future, of the latter days. He gives Daniel visions of the fall of the Persians, the fall of the Babylonians. He gives him visions, even, which is super spooky, of the rise and fall of Alexander the Great. And in the second half of our Old Testament lesson, we get a glimpse of what Jesus and Paul and Peter and John will expand upon in the New Testament. A vision of the final resurrection on the last day, the judgment on the last day. And Jesus says the Archangel Michael will watch over and protect the faithful. Whether in history they are a faithful couple, Adam and his wife, Sarah, whether in history the faithful are those that continue to worship Yahweh alone, even in exile, like Daniel and his friends, or whether the faithful are Christ's church here on earth, us now, you, your kids, your grandkids, your future great-grandkids, your future great-great-grandkids, all of the faithful, Michael has been set by Jesus to watch over them and protect them. In Daniel's vision, he sees that there will be a time of great tribulation. But even through that, the faithful will be delivered. Because everyone whose name is found written in this book of life will be saved. People will rise out of their graves, and yes, they will be judged. But for the faithful, they will rise, be given new glorious bodies, and be judged perfect by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a great promise. He comes not in anger as the King of Kings. But for the faithful, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Yes? And so we transition to the Revelation reading, where we get to see even more through the crack in the door. And I would say through the crack in the space-time continuum, we get to see outside of time and place. Jesus shows us overtly this mirror image of the battle at the beginning of creation between the angels and the demons, and the battle between the angels and the demons when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Both times led by that ancient serpent, Satan, the devil. This is often what's called the war in heaven. It's why all of us, no matter who you are, we all like good versus evil stories. We like The Lord of the Rings. We like Harry Potter. We like, I don't know, Flash Gordon. What do you guys like? We like good versus evil because good and evil are fighting at all times in an unseen realm around us. It's fundamental to our Christian worldview. And ever since St. Michael, the archangel, threw Satan down from heaven with all his demons, the devil has been here on earth as the prince of this world, tormenting all of creation, causing tornadoes, hurricanes, the haunting of homes, disease, pain, disagreement, confusion, all of these things the devil has been torturing us with. But his chief job, that Revelation tells us, is he is the accuser. He constantly tries to go back into the courtroom of heaven, like he does in Job, the book of Job, and say, Father in heaven, this one is a sinner. Do not see him as righteous. Satan's primary job is to accuse us of sin, to accuse us of not being faithful, to try and convince even Christians that they're unworthy of God's love, to convince even Christians they're unworthy of Christ's forgiveness. But don't forget, God created all things, and he created this archangel Michael to watch over you, to protect you from this evil one, from his accusations. And you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at any time to deliver you from temptation, from what you accidentally saw on your phone or your computer, from evil. He rallies the troops around you and your church. We never pray to Michael. We never even talk to him in the same way that when you go visit where the queen lives, the king in England, and there's like those soldiers with the hats, and you can like mess with them, but they don't talk to you. And you just realize, maybe I shouldn't be messing with this guy. That's kind of like what Michael is like. We don't talk to him, but he's guarding the one that he's been sent to guard. Remember, we always talk to, we always pray directly to Jesus because he loves it when we do that. But Jesus does command angels concerning you. He gives them jobs to do for you, to serve you, to minister to you. And so, where does the gospel fit in here? Well, prep yourselves. Because this is one short, sweet, electric gospel reading. And as I preach to you about it, you should get a taste of ozone in your mouth if you don't already. Because heaven and earth, the unseen and the seen, are met in this gospel reading. Early in Jesus' ministry, he sends out the 72 disciples to do ministry. And they've just come back. They've been preaching. They've been teaching. They've been doing miracles in Jesus' name. They've been casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they come up to Jesus and they're rejoicing. And they say, Jesus, wow. We, you know, these demons that have, you know, tormented us in our communities for so long. We just say, in the name of Jesus, come out. And the demons obey. But Lord Jesus, unfazed, a young man with ancient eyes, looks at them and short and sweet says, don't forget, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This should send shivers down your spine, because do you get what Jesus is saying? Do you get what he's saying? He was there. The guy standing there in the first century talking to this group of disciples, he was there. He was their creation. He was standing on the battlefield in heaven at the dawn of creation. He was fighting alongside Archangel Michael against demons. And with his own eyes, he saw Satan fall from heaven to earth. And then on that fateful day, as he hung on the cross, Jesus would see Satan fall from heaven one last time as he is crucified for our sins and announces victory over Satan, the power of Satan, which is death. And then he would announce his total victory in his resurrection. Death no longer had dominion over him. Death no longer has dominion over you, because you have faith in Jesus Christ. You are joined to him. You are like him. And so Jesus gives the disciples great authority. He says, you have authority to tread on serpents. You have authority to tread on the devil, on his demons, just like Jesus. You have authority over the power of the enemy. Hear Jesus. Hear his promise. Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. When you encounter evil, whether in your personal life, whether you look into your own heart and see evil, whether there is evil in your home, whether there is evil out there in the world, you can and you should rebuke it in Jesus' name. Have no fear. Nothing shall hurt you. Jesus said so. Nevertheless, Jesus says, don't get too interested in this demon stuff. Instead, rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. And that's what's, I think, kind of funny. He was that guy that gave Daniel that promise and said, hey, those that are resurrected and enter eternal life, those are the ones written in this book of life. The same guy made the same promise twice to his faithful. Rejoice that you know your name is in the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life on the day of your baptism or the day that you came to faith in Jesus Christ. It's written there. Rejoice. Our reading from Revelation finishes triumphantly. A loud voice in heaven proclaims, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, that is Satan or the devil. At Christ's crucifixion, his kingdom broke into this world, and it continues to break into this world in places like this. From this place, from that place, from this place. And the power of the devil, the power to accuse a Christian, has come to an end. For the revelation continues, they, or Christians, have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Make no mistake, they're talking about the blood in the cup. They're talking about the blood that flowed from his side for the forgiveness of sins. It has conquered the devil. They, Christians, have conquered Satan by the word of their testimony, the gospel, preaching and teaching, the reading of the scriptures in the home, by the self, the listening of the scriptures in the car. It's how we conquer the power of the devil. The revelation continues, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Christians have and will continue to die for Christ and his word. We call these martyrs. But therefore, rejoice, the revelation continues. Rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them. That's you. Rejoice. We've conquered. But it finishes, woe to you. Judgment is coming, is what woe means. Woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. The devil knows his time is short. And so what happens when you back a rabid animal into a corner? It knows its time is short, and it tries to get you. But know and take heart, the power of the devil to accuse you has come to an end. Because when the devil tries to convince the Father or convince you that you're not worthy, you're not forgiven, the Father's confused because he looks at you and he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, perfect, spotless righteousness earned by his death on the cross and his resurrection, given to you by faith. Rejoice. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The lifeblood of Jesus Christ has paid for your sin, has paid for your mistakes. It has been given to you in faith. And this faith daily defeats Satan. And so as the hymn goes, Satan, hear my proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. He will command his angels concerning you. Could we please close by flipping to the final page in your bulletin. The very final one that says order of family worship on it. Everyone there, go to the bottom, find Luther's morning prayer, something that we can pray each day in the morning, and let's pray that together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.